Oh, hey, friends, this sale's for you. The DSW Friends and Family event is on. DSW VIP members get 25% off almost everything in stores and online for a limited time. Don't miss out. This only happens twice a year. Not a VIP? You're still family to us. Join for free to get in on the savings. Plus, VIPs always get free shipping on anything. Save on must-own shoes today when you shop the DSW Friends and Family event at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Felt like I spent my entire day yesterday talking about, reading about, watching salacious, tabloid-esque, and very just kind of, I'll say gossipy kind of stories. Pearl, welcome to the show, by the way. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. The gossipy, tabloidy stuff was this yet another Bill Belichick story that came out. This one, the New York Times. Thousands and thousands of words. Some of the big stuff coming out that Jordan Hudson has told people that she and Bill are engaged, at least told one person that they're engaged to be married. Also, a tawdry detail, but I feel now kind of weird reading these details. So she was definitely around the Patriots facility, right?
Right.
This relationship goes back to when Bill had the 4-13 season with the Patriots. Not only was she at the hotel before games, like, Bill Belichick game planning to play Buffalo, Josh Allen, game planning to play against Lamar. I don't know if they play the Ravens that year, but game planning against some significant quarterbacks. And he's got Jordan Hudson at the hotel the night before the game. Mm. I'm shocked by that. And he asked her to wear, this is weird, he asked her to wear red pants to training camp so he could easily spot her in the crowd.
Okay.
How distracted was this guy? I mean, this is the singular focus Bill Belichick. So that part of it was like you get a little ick on you reading some of this stuff about Belichick and Jordan Hudson. She's been like frozen out by the Nantucket social scene. All this stuff is getting really, really tabloidy. But then watching the Brett Favre documentary yesterday on Netflix, it's called The Fall of Favre. That also was so tabloidy.
Yeah.
And just how a guy who, like, basically the theme of the doc there is, careful with the hero worship.
Yeah.
And, it's a good lesson for all of us, but that Favre kind of always had these, for as good as he was, he always had some demons and he always had some, just like obvious character flaws. And they showed before, when he got to the NFL, during his time at the NFL, at the highest of the highs, and now obviously the lowest of the lows with the Mississippi Welfare Fund scandal.
It's funny. I think maybe my memory of Brett Favre is colored by the recent news, but I don't remember us ever thinking Brett Favre was a good guy necessarily, but maybe we did. Was there, in the documentary, was there, because he's always kind of like, I always thought of him as the picture of a draft night wearing jorts, and he was the gunslinger. He was wild and loose. I didn't think of him as a arbiter of moral standards. So I was curious, did we hero worship him? I can't even remember.
So there are some great people in the documentary who, covered the Packers while he was there would say, even now, with all the things that we know about him, sending the photos to Jen Sturger, denying it, denying the welfare fund, misappropriating those funds, which, he hasn't been found guilty of anything, but there's some pretty damning text messages. He's still involved in a civil lawsuit. State of Mississippi is trying to claw back some of that money that they alleged he funneled towards a volleyball court to help his daughter at Southern Miss, and then also towards his charities so that he could pay back money that he lost investing in a controversial concussion spray. Mm-hmm. You spray up your nose that's supposed to help with concussions. The FDA is not approving it. They've lost a lot of money on it. Anyway, all that stuff still has to be adjudicated.
Okay. Oh, that old storyline.
Yeah, right. That old bag. But yeah.
What?
I think what they say is that even in Green Bay, he walks into a room now and people will go nuts.
Yeah, of course.
Right. So the idea that
anyone?
Well, it's like, how much do you need to know about a guy before he gets knocked off a pedestal?
And I mean, come on, look around sports. Ray Lewis probably killed a guy and he was the face of the NFL 8 years later. Tyreek Hill's a superstar. I mean, you go down the list. I do think we are, as a sports nation, are accustomed to separating the man from the work.
Right, and
there were a lot worse guys than Brett Favre still. Even with everything you just described, there are definitely worse guys. that we put on a pedestal.
Yeah, he definitely, I don't want to say like better or worse, he definitely like, certainly people think he destroyed their lives, you know, and how they're all paying the price for it more than he does, right? So he's the one who sent the pictures to Jen Sturger, right? She never leaked those out. Those got hacked in and stolen from her. And her career was essentially over at that time of being a sports broadcaster. Brett Favre gets to go on, play for the Minnesota Vikings, get into the Hall of Fame, all those things where, you know, she felt like she was discarded. Other people who feel like Brett really ruined their lives in a lot of ways, and he's paying the price maybe now, but even still, they show him in Congress. He's trying to defend himself in this welfare fund scandal. It's over, and people are asking him to sign autographs. You know, it's just like, how far does it go, right?
That definitely can't surprise you.
I wasn't surprised by any of it, but it does kind of, you hold up a mirror and you're like, man, what do you buy into? And what does a guy have to do? And how much does he have to show you who he is before he stops getting the hero worship treatment? And Peter King is our friend, obviously, and I'm sorry to interrupt you. He has an interesting comment where he goes, I bet if you ask most Green Bay fans, they don't even want to know. Right? Because Brett Favre, the person, is not who they're rooting for. They're rooting for Brett Favre, the football player.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's what we do. So there's so many interesting cases. Kobe Bryant, of course, when he passed, it was the third paragraph in was the civil suit in Colorado.
Sure.
I think that we can compartmentalize all of this, right? We have to as sports fans. So I'm not surprised. Of course, Brett Favre walks into a room in Wisconsin and is a god. In fact, the funny thing is, I feel like Brett Favre has kind of turned the tide a little bit. Now he's kind of a bit of not sympathetic figure, but I think he definitely took his bullets. Like a couple years ago, he was down. Feels like he's settled a little bit. Am I wrong about that? It like felt like 2020 to 2023 were real bad years for Brett Favre, and now he's been out of the news a little bit.
Yeah, well, he's still in that civil suit with the state of Mississippi, so we'll see about that. But I don't know if he's gotten himself all the way back.
I just think that, you know, this does happen. You guys fall, but then they sort of plateau and they're okay, long run. Pete Rose, for example. I don't know. I'm just thinking of some of the creepier sports stars of all time.
Sure.
There is almost nothing a sports star can't do and come back from to some extent, unless you're in prison.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, OJ is probably the main example.
But even he was on Twitter.
Well, I mean, that's.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm not saying. You're right. I'm saying that's probably the one example.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because Michael Vick is also a talking head in this documentary. He's somebody who definitely came back. But I feel like But I feel like Vick really lived the apology. You know, Brett Favre keeps denying. Vick went to prison, became a spokesperson for the ASPCA, all that stuff. Yeah, you know, it's funny about Kobe, and not to make it about him, this is a Brett Favre documentary that's on Netflix right now. I thought it was the ultimate irony that Kobe had the situation in Colorado where he definitely, you know, had to apologize to the victim and all of that and became known as girl dad, you know?
Yeah,
and it's funny
amazing.
Because people are not just one thing, right? And he could be this incredible father and also have this, you know, these allegations against him.
Yeah, you could look at Mike Tyson. You could look at, in some ways, Tiger recovered his reputation.
Although, went down a couple times.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it was illegal like what Brett Favre did, but you guys can come. It's a country of second chances.
Yeah, I was going to say, America is a country that wants to come back. They want to celebrate you. Like, I know we kind of have this idea that it's cancel culture, and, you know, once you're canceled, you never come back. It's like almost all everybody comes back.
Yeah, that's not true.
It's not true. Everyone comes back. They always still get their embrace. It's very, again, besides OJ and very, very few number of people, and a lot of those people, we would never want them back because of the things they've done and things that they've been accused of. But for most people, they want to come back. So I agree with Pearl. I think Brett Favre, I feel like he had some really rough years. I think he's found a lane with a certain crowd for sure over the last few years.
Yeah.
And I think that now it's a little more, I don't want to say 50-50, but I think, you know, he has his folks who will never like him. I think he has his folks who say, you know what, like, you know, I saw a lot of tweets yesterday because I was actually curious what Twitter thought of it, which who knows what you're going to see.
Yeah.
But a lot of people were like, oh, God, this is such a hit piece. Like this is stuff we already know. Like, get over it. Like, it was a lot of that out there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that out there. So I think Brett is in a different spot right now, and I think it is a testament to what America is, which is is a place of second chances, like Perloff said.
Do you think Kanye could come back? I mean, let's be realistic. I think he could.
Yeah.
I mean, I think even that is insidious and disgusting as everything he's doing right now, I think people are wanting
praising Hitler, almost, stuff like that.
Yeah, I think people almost want to see him come up with a new album, and some people like that song. I mean, he can't come back in my book, but I'll bet you he could come back in this country. It is, you can go really down, far down, and if show contrition, you can come back.
I don't think he's anywhere close to doing that, but I think it's possible. Dropped some kind of fire album that was not all about Hitler. I mean, geez, what are we doing?
Right.
If he did drop some sort of more like a mainstream, would the radios be playing it?
In 5 to 10 years, you know, time changes things too.
You do have to show contrition. I think that's what's holding up Favre. You know, he's still maintaining. He didn't know where any of those welfare funds, Mississippi, one of the poorest, you know, states in this country, and these are the poorest of the poor people who need this money, right? And he is maintaining he had no idea where any of these funds came from. When there's text messages that says, hey, am I going to get in trouble for this? Is there any way the media is going to be able to find out where this money's coming from? I mean, it's not a smoking gun, but it's pretty close.
Well, let's be real. I mean, in my opinion, I look at Brett Favre's, his quote-unquote sin, so to speak, are it's against a young woman and it's against poor people. These are not people in America that we normally protect. So I think that if Favre, if he went and murdered somebody he went and did something that really impacts people that you normally do protect, maybe it'd be different. But I think people will look at that and they can kind of oversee those poor people in Mississippi or, a random woman that maybe they're not that familiar with and say, okay, well, boys will be boys. And it's an unfortunate part of where we are, but I think it is a reality.
Yeah, that Jen Sturger is obviously in the doc, and she said people just saw me as a photo, and they saw him as a hero. And that was the difference. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Sports hero worship. And I know we do it too. Obviously, we glorify people.
It's so hard because we're only getting Pearl always says you cannot. And my dad always says the same thing. Like you don't know who these people are.
Nope. No.
We see them in these small windows and we see their greatness on a football field or on a basketball court or on hockey ice or baseball field. And, you want to celebrate that. And when you do that, there's a connection you bring to that. Like Brett Favre, like my brother's a Packers fan. So he grew up like Brett Favre was like his football idol. He's why he loves the Packers. Right. And like. He's someone who's like, I'm done with him. Like, I don't want anything to do with him. But I know so many of the other fans that he knows that love the Packers. Like, they know that guy who was just picking up Donald Driver and running around the field like a kid. Like, they
bringing the Packers back.
Yeah, they see those images of him smiling and running like, he won a Super Bowl when it was just week three. Like, that stuff that he did, like, really endeared himself to people.
Yeah, I had a player who I grew up. Remember Steve Carlton, the great Hall of Fame
first
pitcher? Turns out he was an anti-Semite and a conspiracy theorist and a total weirdo.
Mm.
I still have pleasant memories of him striking out like 11 Mets. Sorry,
it's amazing.
Deshaun Watson came to mind too. It was just the play was outstanding. He came off as an outstanding citizen too.
Absolutely,
We were all fooled by him. So the point, like, it's really, I do think you bring up a good point, EJ. Like, we really have to be careful. The guys we think are good guys and the guys we think are bad guys. And the funny thing, Michael Vick, during the dogfighting scandal, people would say, you'd be like, well, do you know Michael Vick? Like, he's a good dude.
Right.
Which
and it
was
felt
very
impossible.
Very confusing.
To be both things, right?
Yeah, very confusing. So people are complex. Yeah. I don't know if Brett Favre is, but people are.
I'm curious if Favre does come back, which would be ironic that it is a documentary about all the it's the good things, it's his rise, but also obviously the fall, and just kind of the idea that the fall was never far away. It's not like a Deshaun Watson where people were like completely blindsided, like, what, this guy has been harassing women and the volume of them. Nobody ever thought that Brett Favre was a choir boy.
But, it's funny, too. If Deshaun Watson came out and had 40 touchdowns, he'd be a big star again. He would be.
I know ultimately you're right. Let's go to Jay. He's in Nashville. Jay, you want to talk about Perloff being self-loathing.
Fair.
We're here for it.
Oh, but I can't believe y'all ain't got Perloff yet, man. I mean, remember, you're mad because he's hating on your team and your friend, but this is the guy who hates on his own team. This is the same guy we had to make. I think y'all had a whole special of him tearing down that dumb poster he had behind him. I forget the quarterback's name. While Jalen Hurts was the quarterback, but he still had this dude in, right behind him on the wall. This guy comes from the same city that booed Santa Claus.
Yep.
He comes from the same city that would boo the Salvation Army dude for ringing the bell too loud. And then yell out and call him a freeloader because he's asking for donations for a good cause. This is the same dude from a city that is so insanely delusional. They think Rocky's a real person. So what do? They build a Rocky statue. So, I mean, I don't know why you guys are acting so surprised. But
Jay, you forget. We booed Mike Schmidt. We booed Mike Schmidt consistently. That guy is the greatest player we ever had.
Yeah.
That's Mike Schmidt. I'm talking about Santa Claus and Salvation Army. Yeah. You know?
A little different. Jay, it's an A-plus call.
No,
all the way around. And the quarterback in question was Carson Wentz, who, Jalen Hurts is leading the Philadelphia Eagles to the Super Bowl, Perloff had a blown-up, enlarged Sports Illustrated cover of Wentz on it in a Philadelphia Eagles uniform that so agitated everyone here at the Infinity Sports Network, we had to destroy it, and we did so for charity.
By the way, is Carson Wentz on a team?
I don't know.
Who the hell laughing so loud?
That was a drop, I think.
Zach Gill.
Yeah, but by the way, I'm a longtime supporter of Hurts. I thought Hurts was, I was originally on Hurts over Wentz because Wentz was killing us. I will give you that, but I think
you like to troll people.
You're right. I hated Allen Iverson.
You're a serial troller.
Like I got frustrated with Iverson, who was amazing. I got frustrated. I get frustrated with my own players. And even if the Eagles had lost the Super Bowl, I would have buried that team in Sirianni.
Remember, Saquon dropped the ball, and he was like, "Oh, this guy, he's a loser. He's never going to win for us."
Was that in Atlanta?
Yeah. That was at home, but it was against Atlanta.
I'm still shocked that Saquon Barkley did what he did last year. I had no idea.
And by the way, Jay, thank you for the call. Perloff has already predicted that Barkley's going to have a down year this year because
he's science, Mac.
Gone through all the other
guys with that many carries,
close to 2,000 yards.
That makes sense, though. I think
you're already like guarding against the fact that you think he's going to let you down this year.
He's not going to let us down. We are in that sweet spot where there's no pressure on the Eagles this year. I feel like we got our ring.
How funny is it? Nick Sirianni had a press conference yesterday. I don't think we were going to bring this up today, but he had a press conference yesterday and someone asked, how long's your extension? He signed a contract extension.
Yeah, yeah.
And the media said, how long's the extension for? Wouldn't tell anybody.
Oh, really?
It's I don't want to say.
I did not. Actually, I didn't know.
Well, why don't you want to say? He's like, I don't know. I just don't want to. I'm like, this guy's undefeated when it comes to being awkward in a press conference. Clearly doesn't matter. They won. But you asked me yesterday, you know, what's more likely, Nick Sirianni fired in 3 years or Hall of Fame?
Yeah, I didn't ask you that. I actually argued. I argued it's more likely they'll get to the Hall of Fame than fired in 3 years. Yeah, Twitter did not agree with me.
Yeah, 79%. I put the poll up. Fired in 3 years.
But you realize he is 5th all-time in the history of NFL in winning percentage. It's like him, Vince Lombardi, Don Shula, Nick Sirianni. Curly Lambeau's in there, too.
It's not going to hold. Unless Howie Roseman keeps like pulling these rabbits out of hats, it's not
going
to hold.
I think there's something going on. I think he is secretly, he's a secret genius behind. I think there's something going on with that guy that we just don't understand. Like, when the cameras are off, he's like, okay, I put the goofy act out there. Now I'm going to be this Bill Belichick-like leader of the team. I think there's two Nick Sirianni's. We're just not getting access to the behind-the-scenes one.
Man, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476.
Big Dom getting an extension yet?
Dude, he got the podium at the White House.
Big Dom's an eagle for life. He works in that building as long as he wants to.
He's the one who's really pulling the strings. We all know this.
Well, he's the one who knows where the bodies are buried because he probably put a few of them there. Okay, so he started with Brett Favre. And, you know, are you interested in a Brett Favre comeback if one is indeed in the works? 888-710-4ISN. Again, ironically, the movie's called The Fall of Favre. And if this ends up helping him somehow, would be the ultimate also like hero worship of sports fans. Like they just laid out all the bad things he's done and somehow this is going to usher in some sort of comeback.
I know it's typical.
It's pure irony.
It's a sports cycle that is hard to explain. By the way, you just casually accused Big Dom of murder. And as an Eagles fan, we're like, yeah, he did.
It's what you do. It's what you do for your team.
I implied. I don't think I accused.
No, it's fine. We, as an Eagles fan, yes, that's what we do to win football games. We murder people. Maybe the Bills ought to try burying a couple people in Lake Erie. Maybe that'll help get a ring.
Oh, my goodness.
What? What? This is Philadelphia Eagles football.
Careful what's chopped up in that cheesesteak.
Barbaric stuff, man.
This is South Philly. Man, there's a different set of rules down there.
Yeah, it's South Philly. If you're not threatening murder, are you even trying?
South Philly and Guantanamo Bay, same place. Same,
888-710-4410. Yeah, South Philly in the, one of the world's most notorious prisons. Same, same.
The vet.
Actually, that is one of the more well-known prisons. That prison underneath the stands at the vet was, it's not Guantanamo Bay. They should have said the
terrorists. They took some inspiration there.
They're like, where do we send the terrorists? Let's send them to the vet. See how they deal with that crowd.
I know the president's going to reopen Alcatraz. He should also reopen the vet prison.
Yeah, right.
Just build a stadium again just to build a prison.
Yeah, you have to sit there during a 4 o'clock Eastern game with the crowd all liquored up and
wearing
Emmitt Giants Smith jersey.
Yeah, wearing an Emmitt jersey. That's your punishment.
That's your punishment. Then you can go. 888-710-4ISN. If you can survive that, you can survive anything.
There, people will be like, send me back to maximum security prison. I don't want to be here.
I can't take any more of these Eagles fans.
Too annoying.
Get me back to Cuba.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we have some business in front of us. A couple things. We are debuting a new segment today, which we're excited about. And also, when are we going to do that, EJ?
Maybe 7:40.
7:40 Eastern time. 20 minutes from now, we are debuting a new Maggie and Perloff segment. Also, we have some business. I hate the idea of NFL players playing in the Olympics flag football. However, that has not stopped Perloff and I from doing a draft of what the best team would look like from all active players. So we will do that. It's M&P.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
All right, welcome back, Maggie and Perloff show. Flag football is coming to the Olympics. Very exciting. And the NFL, it looks like they are going to allow their players to participate, although some of the details of that are still to be TBD because it will be at the beginning of camp. But regardless, Mag, we need to put together our dream team for flag football. How should we do this?
All right, let's do it as a Maggie and Perloff draft. We're both going to try to draft the best flag football team that we can send to the Olympics. By the way, the owners approve this unanimously. They want this to happen. They don't care that the players may possibly get hurt. They want to grow the game internationally more than anything in the world. So it's 5-on-5. Right. So 5 players. So we're going to start with 5. We'll see how we get.
Yeah,
from
let's
there.
Stick to the rule. I think the rule is that you can only have one player from one team. Like you can't have Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill, for example.
Fine. Okay. Very good. Do you want to? Yeah. I'll give you the number one pick.
Oh, okay. Well, number one pick is, I think, pretty obvious in this case. He was the number 2 pick in this year's draft, but this is 7-on-7 football. Who's the greatest 7-on-7 football player of all time? Travis Hunter.
Yep, I let you have that one.
You were going to go Travis Hunter too?
Well, of course. I mean, if we're playing two ways here, he's like the one guy who can actually do this. He just won the Heisman. Yeah.
He used to travel the country to play 7-on-7 in high school because he was so ridiculous.
That's pretty unreal.
They projected he would run a flat 4.3 Deion Sanders style.
I believe it. I kind of believe anything with Travis Hunter, to be honest.
Yeah, me too.
All right, so for my number one pick, I am going to go with one that does seem obvious to me as well, Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson, one of the fastest, most elusive quarterbacks, and I know he probably is not going to play both ways. You know, I don't think you're putting him out there at DB. You could, but Lamar Jackson is going to be my number one pick for a flag football Olympic team.
Okay, this is where it gets really tricky. I like that. You could wait on quarterback because you're only going to have one quarterback. I'm actually going to go this. I thought all night about this night. Ja'Marr Chase will be my second player because I'm putting him just a little bit above. I think we're looking at the same 2 or 3 receivers for this. I just feel like because of the age and the straight line speed, Ja'Marr Chase of the Cincinnati Bengals will be my number one wide receiver.
Okay, so this is easy for me then. I'll take his biggest frenemy out there, yep. which is Justin Jefferson. At the press conference yesterday, he's going to be the ambassador here. He says he wants to win an Olympic gold more than anything. If I was a Vikings fan, do you understand how big of a turnoff that would be? Maybe there's nothing that Justin Jefferson could do, very little, that would turn me off. You've had so much Super Bowl and playoff heartbreak. I can't stand it, but I do love Justin Jefferson as a player and as, you know, in this role, he'd be fantastic.
Nobody judges wide receivers for wins and losses like quarterbacks, so he's fine. And he's the coolest. Okay, Justin Jefferson, then I'm going to double down on wide receiver. Yeah. I'm going Tyreek Hill. I know he's older, but when this whole story first came up a couple years ago that the NFL was going to get involved in flag football, everyone said, who is the ultimate flag football player? It's got to be Tyreek Hill. He's a human joystick. Maybe the fastest wide receiver we've ever seen play at this level, who is good. I mean, there's been other track stars. I got to go with Hill.
That's fantastic. All right, I think I might end up going. I think I'm going to go to my running backs here because I want the first pick of the running backs.
Yep, makes sense.
I think.
Peyton Hillis.
No. Bring him out of retirement.
Cam Scataboo.
I'm going to go with Saquon. I'm going to take your guy.
Oh, that's a mistake.
Why?
Flag football. Who's the shiftiest player and the fastest running back?
He's not shifty. He's the next Barry Sanders.
I'm running to the podium to put Ja'Marr Gibbs in.
I have Ja'Marr Gibbs here, but I actually was deciding between him and somebody else. But you're telling me Saquon's not elusive?
Not like Gibbs. Saquon's old. He's yesterday's news. This is
old?
This is...
All right.
Gibbs was born to play flag football. He is, you know, you put him running to the video game music. So I'll take Gibbs as my next pick. You're up.
Go Birds.
Okay, so I'm back up now. You know.
We haven't picked a defensive player yet.
I know. Well, that's what I'm going to do right now.
Well, you picked Travis Hunter.
Yeah, you did.
That's true.
Is he playing offense?
I'm playing primarily a wide receiver.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to go with Patrick Surtain.
Yeah, I looked at him.
I think this one.
The older or the younger?
The older, no. The younger. I'm going to go with Surtain, the current Denver Bronco. Give me Surtain. I don't know how his hands are. Probably okay. So I think I could probably use him maybe on offense, too, if I needed to. Give me Patrick Surtain. That's my fourth pick.
Okay.
We're up in our last round here.
We're only going five deep?
Well, that's what the flag football is doing. 5-on-5. We can keep going, but our main starters.
So 5-on-5 is a 10-man roster. Well, okay, well... There are a lot of guys I want, but I got to get Micah Parsons on my team. He's talked a lot about flag football, too. He was a dynamic high school running back. Who was it? Derrick Henry was making fun of him. He's like, you were good at running back until you had to turn because you could just run straight. There's no more ferocious. Like, you got to get, you're allowed to blitz, right, at some point. So you got to have, Micah is incredibly fast. He's dying to play offense. He would just be the life of the party. I don't think you could do this Olympic team without Micah Parsons.
The life of the party.
I mean, he will be running the show on a media front. You know, he'll be front and center. He will be the spokesperson of this team. You need that guy. It's going to be Micah Parsons.
That poor Italian school teacher who's just dropping back to pass and he sees Micah Parsons pressuring him on the blitz.
100 miles an hour. Yeah.
Plumbers and firemen, Manny, is that what you're alleging? The rest of the world is fielding their flag football teams?
Yes.
Okay, well, I'm not going to follow you there. I actually feel like there is someone left on the board that I really want, even though I'm going to be duplicating another position.
Okay.
I want Bijan Robinson.
Yeah, I have him on my list. He's good.
All right, so I'm going to forego pass rush in a flag football league to go with more offense, and I'm going to go with Bijan Robinson. That's going to be my fifth pick. Even though I already have Saquon, I'm still going to go with Bijan.
Yeah, okay. Can we just go one more round?
All right, one more.
You need a possession receiver, right? I'm thinking about this. I think so.
I think it's all about speed. Okay.
Well, I want a tight end because they're impossible matchups. They are too big for the little guy, and they're too fast for the big guy. How is this school teacher going to cover Brock Bowers? Just tell me. No one in the NFL can cover him. He is the perfect tweener. I was looking at Kelsey's. Kelsey's getting a little too old. I need a tight end on my team because you got four plays to get down the field. You need a mid-range play. Brock Bowers, boom, perfect. Oh, I didn't pick a quarterback yet, though. That's a problem. Well, Travis
Hunter.
Let's go to round seven. Two bench guys. So let's go to round seven. So you got Brock Bowers. We'll do one more. Then we'll get bogus in here.
I don't have a quarterback.
So Maggie, you're on your number. This is your number six pick.
This is my sixth pick. All right. I was. Thank you.
Day two.
I was gonna go.
It's fine. We're winning anyway. You can pick even the worst player in the league. And
all right, Garrett Wilson.
Pick a kicker.
Oh, Garrett Wilson would be sick. Skinny little Garrett Wilson.
I was gonna outthink myself here, but I'll go. Give me Garrett Wilson. That's gonna be my first guy off the bench.
So Sebastian Janikowski's next. Right?
So last player probably.
Yeah. So I mean, I think this is my team is at least gonna be fun. You got to get. Can you imagine Patrick Mahomes in this league? Throwing lefty, throwing no lookers against poor Slovenian defensive backs. I'll go with Mahomes at quarterback. I wanted Lamar. Of course, that was a good pick by you, Maggie. He's
Thank
the
you.
Ultimate
actually,
flag football, but I'll take Mahomes as a consolation prize.
I am so surprised you didn't pick your guy.
Joe Burrow?
Jaden Daniels.
Well, yeah.
You don't want Jaden Daniels? I actually had him, I wrote him down first. I was like, oh, duh, have Lamar. But Jaden Daniels was like the first person I thought of.
Wow, Jaden Daniels. Can you imagine Patrick Mahomes on a flag football game?
I know Patrick Mahomes doing anything. Patrick Mahomes playing ping pong, I'm sure, is amazing. Yeah, of course, but I don't know.
I did look at Jaden Daniels for the combo speed, but I just think if you want fun, we want to have fun here. I think, by the way, I think it will probably be Lamar and Mahomes, right? Or Burrow. Who's going to be the quarterback?
As long as it's not Josh Allen.
Yeah, I haven't heard. See, I didn't want him at all. I'm like, this is not tackle football.
No.
He can't run over anybody. So that's he's not perfect for
different
this.
Different kind of skill set.
You get one more pick.
Okay, I am going to actually go with a pass rusher here. You've convinced me I do need somebody to blitz. And you said Micah Parsons. I'm actually going to go with a guy who has not played a snap yet in the NFL. Give me Abdul Carter.
Oh, I have him bolded on my list. Guy runs a 40 that is crazy. Yeah, that's a perfect pick for flag football. Wait, did you look at Myles Garrett, by the way, just to scare people?
would he be good at flag?
Well,
I think I'm sure.
He's about 6'5", 270, and runs a 4.4 40. I think that would be a problem for many of these countries.
Go down your team.
I'd like to, but I wasn't keeping track. Okay,
I have your team for me.
Travis Hunter, Jamar Chase, Tyreek Hill, Jahmyr Gibbs, then
Parsons.
Micah Parsons, Brock Bowers, and Patrick Mahomes.
Okay, Lamar Jackson, Justin Jefferson, Saquon Barkley, Patrick Sertan, Bijan Robinson, Garrett Wilson, and Abdul Carter.
Can I ask you one player? Did you have the Ravens safety Kyle Hamilton on your list?
No.
Because he kind of can do everything. So I felt like he's like the most versatile defensive player. He covers guys. He could hit. I looked at him. I didn't. I just think he's kind of a cool player. It would have been fun.
Great player. Let's get to Bogus, and you can weigh in on this at 888-710-4ISN. Your dream NFL flag football player is who? Bogus, aren't you a flag football coach?
I mean, loosely. Babysitter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Volunteer assistant.
What's the skill set? What's the most important skill set for flag football?
Like standing up and running.
On 8-year-olds, not
yeah, young. I don't think my 11U flag football, like 6-game experience qualifies me for this conversation in any way.
I mean, you're practically a GM.
You know what they say, Bogus, Coughlin, all the
same. Yeah, I don't think there's a direct line from that to this.
Is Jake good? I bet you he's good.
Jake's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jake's fine.
Some hesitation there. But
your
whatever.
Voice went up a couple octaves. Hey, he's good.
I don't want to sit here and like be the guy that glosses my son, but yeah, Jake can play.
No, I'm not surprised. I mean, he's got Quinn Ewers for a dad. He should have got the genes.
He just wish he was as big as me. That's the problem. Small. Yeah. Game one of the Western Conference Finals, still a 4-point game in favor of the T-Wolves deep into the third quarter, and then
Shea to the foul line, steps away, fires fadeaway, 16-foot jumper, ring it up. Gilgeous Alexander's got 31 and taking over game one. 96-84 Thunder, 4:45 to play.
Matt Pinto, Thunder Radio, SGA scoring 20 of his 31 in the second half as OKC ran away for the 114-88 route.
They throw you a problem, you have to solve it, whatever it looks like. That's what it is every night, and that's what it was tonight. They had different coverages, different personnel out there, and we have to attack it and work together as a unit to solve the problems out there. And we did that. Tonight, especially in the second half.
And the Thunder defense held Julius Randle to 8 second half points after 20 in the first. Anthony Edwards never got going, scoring just 18, including 0 in the final period. The Atlanta Dream hung on for a 91-90 win in Indiana last night. Caitlin Clark, 27 points and 11 assists. in the Fever's first loss of this young season. The Aces got their first win, 87-62, at the Connecticut Sun. Asia Wilson, 22 points, 10 rebounds, and 4 assists. NFL owners are not expected to approve the proposal for changing playoff seeding, at least according to the Washington Post. Now, teams would still qualify the same way, but then line up based on record only, so a bad division winner wouldn't be guaranteed a top four seed in a home game. The idea being this would make late season games even more important, but again, it doesn't appear to have enough support right now. The Florida Panthers are one win closer to their third straight Stanley Cup final.
Bennett at the line, long shot, he scores! Sam Bennett! A long-distance shot from just inside the blue line. It's a power play goal. It made its way through the traffic, and the Panthers have a 4-1 lead.
On Panthers Radio, Florida, a 5-2 win in Carolina to start the Eastern Conference Final. The Stars and Oilers play the first game out west tonight. Another day, another loss for the Orioles.
1-0 crew, the 1-0. Drilled deep to right field, and this one, you can kiss it goodbye, second deck. Well, near miss 2 innings ago. No mistake that time for Sal Frelick. Two-run home run. Brewers have gone deep twice against McDermott. Lead the game 3-0 in the fourth.
That's from Brewers Radio. Baltimore falling in Milwaukee 5-2, extending their skid to 8. They are 0-4 since manager Brandon Hyde was fired.
Yeah, clearly he was the problem. Marcus, thank you so much. Coming up next, we are debuting a brand new segment. Next, M&P.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
Manny discovers Aerosmith. Love going on this music journey with Manny. He's a young person, discovers music from before the year 2000.
This is the song that they're using the promos for the NBA playoffs. They're using this song. This is how I discovered Aerosmith.
Wow.
Really? I'm curious why this song. Just because it...
It's because it rocks?
Yeah. Is there any connection to any of the teams?
Because the NBA brings you some sweet emotion.
See, I would think AC/DC and Thunder would be Oklahoma City.
They play that.
Yeah, they play, yeah.
Yeah, they play, I think, almost every stoppage.
And Minnesota, you could go with a lot of Prince songs.
Sure.
Got any New York artists?
Yeah.
Never heard of any of them.
No, I don't think they make music over there.
What's a big Indiana artist?
Pat McAfee.
Yeah,
he makes McAfee music now.
Who does McAfee listen to? Whoever that
is. No, come on. Michael Jackson's from Gary, Indiana.
Yeah, it's near Chicago.
Yeah, but Gary is, that's by Chicago.
Oh, all right.
And also, too, I don't know if that's really where you want to go now.
All right. No. I mean, I don't know. Art from the artist.
Is that more of a country scene in Indiana? I don't know. I'm not sure.
I think we're missing someone big. Jim Irsay's got like every famous person's guitar, right?
Well, yeah, he's a big classical rock guy. Peyton Manning was good friends with, or he's at a commercial with Brad Paisley.
Have them perform, yeah.
There's got to be somebody. All right.
We're missing someone big. There has to be a huge star from Indianapolis. Music star.
Music star? I think they might be a blind spot there.
No, I think it's our blind spot, not America's blind spot.
Michael, sorry.
Yeah, I think he's probably getting
Gary, played. Indiana.
Gary, Indiana's. Basically
Gary,
Chicago.
Indiana's, what do you mean?
Is it Indiana. Like right over the river from Chicago? Like,
it's like right on the border with Chicago and Illinois.
All right, but like, is Bruce Springsteen a New York artist?
Yes. No.
Yeah, kind
it's
of.
New Jersey.
No, what? He's in Jersey.
Hold on.
Is John Bon Jovi a New York artist?
Kind of, yeah.
You guys are bugging.
Wait, who's the last one you said?
John Bon Jovi?
No, he's Jersey.
Well, yeah, all but right. Jersey's part of New York.
Very simple.
You got
very
one?
Simple.
I'm actually mad I forgot this one. There is one that's obvious. Only because I watch Parks and Rec.
Oh, I'm not seeing that one.
Is Aziz Ansari?
Babyface.
Yeah, well, okay. Oh. I say Babyface is the first one that came up. And apparently Axl Rose is from Indianapolis.
Oh, well, yeah, of course. I mean, Guns N' Roses is an Indy. What are you talking about?
Well, Guns N' Roses is LA band, but I don't know. Okay, that aside, it's time for us to debut a new segment we're very excited about. Perloff has not heard this yet. Let's go.
He's calling the plays, but she's calling the shots. It's time for As the Tar Heel Turns.
Thank you, Paul R. Zubin. And this is going to be our daily Bill Belichick gossip update. It's basically turned into a Hallmark movie rom-com with a little football on the side. So as the Tar Heel turns, we got some big stuff yesterday, Pearl, as far as Bill Belichick gossip. Number one, that Jordan Hudson and his relationship going all the way back to his Patriots days. She's staying in the team hotel the night before games. She's wearing red pants at his request so that he can easily spot her in the crowd at training camp. I'm like, what is this? Like high school puppy love? I don't know. Anyway, more gossip. And this one was actually not in the New York Times article. This is some other eagle eye people who have noticed that Bill Belichick's boat got a brand new paint job. Bill Belichick has a boat in Nantucket that he's called Eight Rings. And it's ever since he's, you know, been adding Super Bowl rings, the number has been changing. It's, the vessel has been called Eight Rings. It's
counting like the Giants ones.
Yeah, Roman numerals, like VIII rings. Now it has got a new paint job. One plus Eight Rings. One plus Eight Rings. That's what it looks
we
like.
We heard you. What the heck does
well,
it mean?
Well, EJ kind of looks like puzzled, so I was like, maybe I should say it again.
No, what does it mean?
Well, speculation. Either it's an engagement ring that Belichick gave to Jordan Hudson. She told at least one person that they're married.
Right.
Or get engaged, rather.
What?
Or she won a cheerleading championship when she was a cheerleader at Bridgewater State. You get rings for that. So her championship cheerleading ring could be the one plus eight.
That doesn't sound right.
I'm just telling you what I'm getting from the internet.
All right.
Or maybe just he's his plus one. Like, could it just be like one person plus eight rings? Like he got eight rings and then he got the girl.
So maybe it's more than an allusion to the engagement ring.
I don't know if it's an engagement.
I don't think it's about the engagement. I think it's just about
her.
Yeah, she's the other prize. Just like the eight rings were the prize, now Jordan's the prize.
Well, what about his first wife or his longtime partner? Were they not the prize, dude? Like, why does she
Clearly
get the one?
Was he doing airplanes with those on the beach? I don't think
so,
Perloff.
Does he have three kids? I mean, he was married to his first wife for a long time, right?
No, but I'm saying this is
she
now.
She probably can't stand him.
He's not going to put his ex-wives on there. What do you mean?
Well, but he dated this other woman forever and never put her on
the boat. She never got the boat treatment.
Again, was she doing the airplanes with Linda?
He was walking around
a lot of awkward photos.
I know, but Linda wasn't walking around the practice field with a midriff on. This is different.
White high go-go boots. Another piece of gossip, and again, this is our new segment, As the Tar Heel Turns, a little Bill Belichick soap opera stuff. Apparently, there was a dust-up between Jordan and Linda. Happened in Nantucket in a fancy event. And Linda went up to her on the dance floor and told her to get out. And there was an incident. So that's being reported now by Page Six, the New York Post. There was an incident. Jordan was on the dance floor. Linda went up to her and said, get out. And she was like, make me. And it got written up in some kind of incident report.
I think Linda can take Jordan.
I said, you don't know me. And he said, you don't know me. And then I said, exactly.
That was actually live footage from Jordan and Linda.
I got Linda. I think I got Linda in a TKO.
You know what annoys me?
Got that middle-aged woman strength?
Young people don't know how to fight like that.
Mm. You know what annoys me about this whole thing?
What's up?
I just really, now all this makes me hate the story even more, but I want to see UNC be bad at football so bad, but their schedule is so ridiculous. Like, even if Bill Belichick didn't even know which direction the football was supposed to go, he could win six games here. Like, I want to see this all explode to be really bad. Doesn't everybody or no?
I mean, we were talking about redemption stories in sports. Bill, obviously, I don't think we're that bad here. This has just been some embarrassing PR. But I think he's actually going to be pretty good, and all this Jordan Hudson stuff is going to go away.
Pretty good at what?
Like winning football games and doing what he's always been good at.
In the ACC. He'll probably, like every ACC team, win a bunch of games and get shellacked in the first round of the playoff. But is that even prove anything?
I mean, North Carolina making a college football playoff would be a damn big deal. You've said it. They're not a sleeping giant.
If Belichick wasn't there, it would not be a big deal. It'd be basically SMU this year or Indiana this year. It'd be a... I mean, is that big a deal?
I think it was a big deal for SMU. We've talked about they've got deep pockets. Is this maybe now the changing of the guard a little bit in college football? We talked a lot about SMU. Now they got beat pretty badly because they had to go to Penn State.
This is the problem with college football. You can have an Indiana Hoosiers team who just gets the right draw, and that's what North Carolina has this year. Although, I would almost reconfigure these. I'm looking at their schedule. This conference is so awful. Your conference, EJ, is so awful. They have one top 20 team.
Have you heard Dabo Swinney went into the transfer portal and got four players?
One top 20 team for a major conference? What's
Miami,
going on?
Miami's top 20. No, there's at least two. Clemson and Miami.
What's Miami?
They should be in the top 20.
It's Wednesday, which means a great debate.